Oklahoma wanted him to be the champions. Oklahoma invented him.
Excellence has been established by Coach Wilkinson, Coach Switzer, and Coach Stoops. It's my responsibility to defend that standard and to build upon that standard.
Welcome to the Oklahoma Trail Podcast with your hosts, Jesse Crittenden and Brian Clement.
Hello, Sooner Nation, OU Insider subscribers, Coach Brian Clinton enthusiasts, people who cannot get enough of OU spring football notes and content. I hope you fall into that category. We both hope you fall into that category because you're going to get so many notes and so much content in this episode that you're not going to know what to do with yourself. So buckle in now for the latest episode of the Oklahoma Drill, a podcast fueled by OU Insider and the Rivals Network. I am Jesse Crittenden. I am joined, as always, in perpetuity, for now and forever, till death do us part, by Coach Sir Brian Clinton. Brian, it's like 75 degrees and really nice outside today, when the 2 days we went to practice this week were not. Yeah, that. Awful. What? Why?
I don't know. It was like sleeting in Oklahoma City yesterday morning.
Yeah,
like,
yesterday at practice, it was brutal outside. Yeah. Cold and rainy.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's Oklahoma Springs, man. You know, I mean, you know how it is.
Thankfully, we were indoors. We were at Everest. But even indoors, it was kind of cold, man.
Yeah.
And I'm not...
If you're standing near one of the entrances, it was like... like not even crisp, like it was just cold.
Yeah. And look, here's the thing. I complain. Okay. I am not easily content. I complain. Okay. And it was too cold outside. It was just too cold outside. But that did not stop either of us from attending nearly 4 hours of open practice this week. It was you, me, and Brandon on Monday attending practice. Then it was just you and I on Wednesday holding down the fort that's what we do. You in particularly were making some very long drives on Monday and Wednesday to be around. And that's just your commitment level. That's just the way we do things.
That's it.
At OU Insider. Brian, there's so much to break down. There's so much we could talk about, but I guess let's just start here. 4 hours of open practice. I mean, we got to see a whole lot more practice than we normally do. I mean, don't you feel like you just have a really good understanding of where this team is now after this week? It's just two practices. There's so much more to go, but don't you just feel like you have a pretty decent understanding of this team?
Yes, especially for where we're at. Like, I mean, we're still, as crazy as it sounds, we're still about a month away from the spring game. So it's like, typically at this point in time, there's just nuggets and pieces of things coming out because there hasn't been that much open availability in recent years. But now it's like, I mean, the opening statement that Brent Venables took so much heat for on Twitter about the water hose or the fire hose.
Yeah,
that's how I feel at this point. Like there was just so much all at once happening. The 4 hours of practice, there was just so much to take away from it. And if you didn't have a notepad or take notes at some point, there's I mean, you would have forgotten a lot. So, yeah, it's been really good. And I like the, you know, it sounds, everybody says spring is hype season. It is. But I came away from both sessions, I mean, really encouraged for the most part. Like, and I know, like, again, I'm feeding into that hype train, but most of the positions on the field, like outside of interior offensive and defensive line, which I think those two groups could probably add a piece or two, the rest of the roster looks like it might be in as good a place as it's been in a long time. So yeah, I feel like I've learned a ton about the team, and we're not even in April yet.
No, I agree. And I think that was one of my overarching takeaways was, I think outside of the offensive line, and you mentioned the interior defensive line, I feel really good about those other position groups. Mm-hmm. I really do, especially the secondary. And I think let's start defensively. God, it's in the interest of trying to have some sort of organization, because there's just a million ways we could break this out. Let's start defensively. And I actually want to, because, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, Brody and I did the live last night. Mm-hmm. We did a podcast on Monday. Parker and Brandon have done their notes. You've done your notes. I'm trying to think about some things that haven't been talked about a ton. And I actually want to start here. Zach Alley. That's something that hasn't been talked about a ton in terms mm-hmm. of what impact, in terms of like what does the spring look like with him now kind of running the defense. And I said this last night on the live, but I kind of wanted to expand on it. To me, he already has more of a control in that room than, again, I'm not trying to throw shade at Ted Roof, but already has more control of that room than Ted Roof. Like, to me, you're seeing Zach kind of take guys off to the side and really lead them through stuff, like show them technique, and especially in that linebacker room. It feels like he's running those linebacker drills, where in the past, from what we've gotten to see, it looked like it was really Brent Venables and James Skalski.
Yes.
Running those linebacker room or those linebacker drills, and kind of Brent really kind of leading the defense as a whole. Now, Brent is still around. Obviously, he's in those linebacker drills mm-hmm. and that defense is still his. But to me, when Desan McCullough actually mentioned this yesterday after practice, that Brent's still around, but it's more like he's checking in instead of really running the linebacker room. And I even mentioned it in the one-on-one, the pass rush drills they did early, those one-on-one drills. Mm-hmm. Brent was kind of had a hand in that drill too. He was kind of really helping with the offensive line, the defensive line. And I think there's been a lot of talk about Zach Alley's an extension of Brent Venables, but it feels like just a couple weeks into spring, he's really running the linebacker room and the defense as a whole. Is that the impression? What impression have you gotten? Again, it's early, but what impression have you gotten just from seeing Zach Alley on the field running this defense?
Yeah, he certainly commands more of a presence in practice than Ted Roof might have. And, you know, I think that's probably the easiest way of putting it, because he's not as vocal maybe as Brent Venables is as far as getting under a guy and yelling at him and things like that. That just hasn't come yet. But as you said, paying attention to the details, really being hands-on and being engaged with the players and constantly moving and doing something. Yes, he fits that role perfectly. And I don't want to understate how big of a deal that is for Brent Venables as a head coach. It's such a big deal that, I mean, I know this from watching Brent float around. During individual drills, when they went to Indy, there was very little time that he spent with the linebackers. I mm-hmm. watched him come over and work with Coach Chavis and the defensive ends. I watched him work with Coach Bates along the defensive line. I watched him flip over and was involved with Coach Jones and the wide receivers. He was all over the place, which is, again, I think when you are a head coach at your best, I feel your ability to coach coaches and not be tied to one position is probably like the biggest thing in practice. And I think that that's huge, because it's not just the football knowledge that he brings, but it's the presence that he brings as he floats around. The competition level when the big man on campus is with your position group, like, I mean, those guys want to impress him. Not that they don't want to impress their position coaches, but it's just a big deal that he can float around like that. And I think that's awesome. I also thought that it was great that Allie was playing scout team quarterback, and some of the things that he was doing, like a mini Green Beans instead of Jimmy Green Beans. So it was cool just to see him doing his thing. And he really is an extension of Coach Venables in a lot of ways. And with all the players that we've talked to, he is very much a clone of what BV does. And obviously that's not a bad thing. That's one of the best defensive coaches that we've seen since the turn of the century. So big stuff, and really good to have Zach Alley around.
I made the joke yesterday during practice when it was Brent running scout team quarterback. I was like, hey, you know, look, he looks good. He looks like a natural. He needs to work on his drop a little bit. And look, his throwing motion, his mechanics could use some work.
Yeah.
Could use some work. But we hadn't actually seen a ton of that. Like, we had heard players talk about Venables and whoever else running scout team quarterback. We hadn't actually got to see it. So that was kind of cool.
It's fun.
Yeah. Let's talk about the defensive line, specifically that interior defensive spot, because that's one of the questions outside of the offensive line. It's that DT spot. And I don't know. It's so early, and there's so much that could happen between now and the fall. Mm-hmm. But I know you focused a lot on at defensive tackle. I'll say a couple of things that I noticed, which was that, for one, I had heard some buzz about Grayson Halton from some people, and I didn't really know how much stock to fully put into that. And it's not specifically because of Grayson Halton, but it is hype season. Everyone is doing amazing in the spring. That's what you hear. But, and also because he didn't play it, I think he played like 90 snaps last year.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't play a ton.
Right.
In that one-on-one drill they did early in practice, I think he made the two best plays.
Mm-hmm. And then Devon Sears, those two guys. Yeah.
Yep. I should have mentioned Devon Sears last night, and I didn't. Devon Sears is a worthy mention there. Grayson Halton just looked fast, mm-hmm. really fast. And I tweeted one of those clips just at how impressive he looked. But I thought that was encouraging. I think we expect Dejon Terry to probably take one of those spots. But specifically focusing in on the freshmen, these newcomers, Jaden Jackson, David Stone, what did you see? Again, it's early, but from those young guys, what did you take away from what we got to see through the first couple practices?
So I don't want to make the expectations on the kid too high, because he is a freshman, but I don't feel like I'm really stepping out on much of a limb here. Jaden Jackson might be the best defensive tackle that Oklahoma has already.
Big take.
Like,
big take.
I
love it.
I'm, you know, the way that there were several times during drills that Coach Bates would turn around to the rest of the group after Jaden Jackson went through a drill and say, do you see how he did that? And it's like, this isn't a guy, he's not using a senior as an example. He's using a guy that was playing for IMG Academy last year to as an example in the defensive tackle room, which is just nuts.
He's a mid-year enrollee,
right? Yeah, like we're talking about a kid that technically should still be in high school. So it's incredible. He has come in and looked really, really good. Not to take away anything from what David Stone has done. I'll get to him in a second, but Jaden Jackson's going to play a huge role on this team. He's going to play a major role on this team.
I would have said Jaden Jackson is a guy that just physically, just his physique doesn't look like a freshman.
Right.
More so than most freshmen. Like he looks like a veteran. Right. That was my initial impression of him.
Well, and he's the thing is, I think they when you guys were able to do interviews with the new guys, he talked about how adding weight has been his biggest thing. And he was just glad that they weren't asking him to lose weight because it would have been tough. Adding weight's come easy. And you can see that weight. Like you can see that he is whatever this spring, this roster that they gave us. I don't think the weights have been updated yet. Because there are some guys out there that are certainly heavier now than they were when they arrived here. And I'll be interested to see what he ends up weighing in at, because he'll be over 3 bills. Like he will be a heavier 300 pounds whenever he's playing. And it's good weight. He moves well. He has very good body control for his age, which is impressive. And guys coming from somewhere like IMG Academy, that's, you can tell that they've had high level coaching in the high school ranks, and it does correlate. You know, there's a reason why guys from places like that come right in and end up playing a lot of snaps for teams around the country. So yeah, Jaden Jackson looked fantastic. David Stone is a guy that will also play a huge role for the Sooners this year. And whenever practice was live, whenever it was, you know, first five versus first four, you know, up front, there was not a lot of times that he was kept from getting in the backfield. He does a really good job of getting skinny and shooting gaps. He's very hard to get hands on. He does an excellent job of using his strength. And, you know, there was a couple of times on Monday, he had back-to-back tackles for loss in those inside run drills and looked great. I think that he is still growing into his body, which is a bit scary because you can tell he probably needs to add a little bit more weight. But I also think that with him being as heavy, he's the heaviest that he's ever been right now, according to himself. And you can tell that he's still trying to gain some of that control over his body still. Not that he looks awkward, but you can just tell that he's still getting used to the level of growth that he's had. So incredibly high ceiling, probably the highest ceiling player in the room as far as what he could develop into. But both of those guys are going to play massive roles for Oklahoma. And I think they would have, regardless of Jacob Lacey being gone. They've both just been very impressive, and I think that the hype around those guys is for real.
I couldn't have said any of that better myself. I would have said that my takeaway from David Stone was that the ceiling is incredibly high, and that he is raw, and that I would have said, like, more so, I mean, all these guys, these are freshmen. They're all guys that can grow into their bodies. I would have said my takeaway, not in a discouraging way at all. I would have said David Stone has some growing he can do, but he's going to do it.
Right.
He's going to. And I think you see that most defensive tackles don't move like he does. Right. They just don't. And yeah. That, you know, and I, so where Jaden Jackson looks a little bit more physique polished. Ready.
Yep.
David Stone, if he can get there, and I think he will. And I mean, because it's not just the lack of depth as to why, or not the lack of depth. It's not that they lost a bunch of pieces. That's why Jaden and David could play and probably will. It's because those guys are more progressed than a regular mid-year enrollee, a regular freshman. Yeah. But they need, but that's going to be the focus for David Stone this offseason, mm-hmm. I think, right?
I think the best way to put it for him is right now, David Stone can be effective. He can make plays. When he figures out his body and he figures out how to control that, he will go from effective to a game wrecker, like every play. I seriously believe that he is that level of defensive tackle whenever he puts it all together. And those two guys, by game 10 next year, if they can stay healthy and develop week by week, the reason those guys are going to be playing is because by game 10 and they've got some experience under them, I mean, who's there? There's no telling how good they could be playing by that point. It's a big deal. They're easily two of the guys that I am most excited about watching them develop into this defense. And it's going to be fun seeing them go against some of those big guys in the SEC.
The rest of that defensive line, there were some people on the live stream yesterday that expressed some concern about a couple of those guys, especially someone like PJ Adibara. To me, my opinion really of that defensive line hasn't really, or the especially defensive end, hasn't really changed that much for me. I'm still really optimistic about that room. Outside of probably Ethan Downs, I don't know if I'm any closer to really projecting what the rest of the rotation is going to look like. Because now you're adding Caden Woolard into the mix. Our Mason Thomas is a little bit healthier. Really, I think defensive end is less of a question to me than that defensive tackle room as a whole. Mm-hmm. I think defensive end could end up being one of the best position groups on the team. Did anybody else in particular on that defensive line stand out to you? Whether it's Grayson Halton or DeJon Terry or someone like R. Mason Thomas, anybody else stand out?
Ashton Sanders has made a leap.
I should admit, yeah, good call.
Sure. Call him Champ. He's made a leap. He is somebody that'll be in the rotation. That defensive end room, look, at this point in time, not hearing a ton about defensive ends is fine. Nobody's hitting the quarterback right now. Nobody is really able to turn it on like that and get after the quarterback 100%. A lot of the stuff that we don't get to see whenever they actually do team, 11-on-11, after they kick media out, we don't get to see a lot of that stuff. But I would not be concerned with PJ. I don't think anything would suggest that he is behind the eight ball or he's not developing quickly enough. He's definitely you can tell that
he's bigger.
Oh yeah, for sure.
He's bigger.
But that room, I agree with you. It's deep. You've got, you mentioned Woolard and R. Mason Thomas, but Trace Ford's going to play a big role. Yeah. That's a guy that now that he is fully removed from an injury and he's able to build himself on another off season and get into the strength and conditioning program at OU for another year, I think you could get back, because he was, if you remember early in his career at Oklahoma State, he was dominant. Like that 2021 season, he played, he was good. And I've seen some flashes of him kind of getting back to that, which is awesome. I think having that guy in that room is going to be great. Taylor Wine is another guy, just kind of like he's coming up. He's young. Another guy where you use the word raw and people think not necessarily a good thing. The tools are there. He just needs to be refined. But there, to me, it seems like there's a pretty solid top four right now with Woolard, RMT, PJ and Trace Ford. I would say those are the four guys right now. And then there's certainly young guys underneath them that'll make some sort of role for themselves as well. And Downs, Downs is probably the guy that kind of gets left out a little bit. But he's going to be your starter.
He's going to be a starter.
Yes. Like that's, you know, everybody gets excited about the young pass rushers. I don't think Ethan Downs' strength is being a pass rusher. He's not necessarily the guy that you want to turn loose on third down. But as far as setting an edge, as far as knowing what's going on, having good leverage, you know, being where he's supposed to be, obviously that's going to be the guy that's going to be out there first and second down. So good stuff from that group too.
No, Ethan Downs is in that veteran group with Stutzman, Washington, and Bowman.
Sure.
It is those four guys. Those are the stalwarts of the defense. Yep. Also wanted to shout out Danny Okoye really quick. I think he's looked good.
That's another guy with an absolutely incredibly high ceiling. And maybe you tell me, I think this is a guy that's maybe been the most impressive body transformation, in the time since he's shown up. I mean, he was already a physical specimen whenever he came in from Noah, but when I walked in and saw him on Monday, I was like, holy crap, who is 16? And then I realized it was Danny Okoye, and it was like, you know, his development in the last couple of months is just insane. And yeah, he still flies. He flies around. So I can't believe I forgot him, but yeah, he's looked good.
Yeah. I want to talk about that secondary, which has really stuck out to me because there is, and I mentioned this last night, there is so much movement in that secondary. Yeah. So many guys are being moved around. It's crazy. A lot more than I expected. It's Woody Washington getting reps at corner, nickel, cheetah, safety. It's Desaun McCullough getting legitimate reps at will linebacker. In addition to cheetah, it's Samuel Omosigo moving in and out of cheetah and linebacker. It's Kendall Dolby moving around. It's Peyton Bowen moving around. Reggie Powers, the freshman who was recruited as a true safety, getting reps at corner.
Yeah.
Like there's so much movement. And I said this last night, but I think I think they're just experimenting right now, which is kind of what the spring is for, but I think they're doing it. It's almost like on steroids than like compared to a normal year. I think we're headed towards a year where, yeah, there might be starters. There might be like first down or like first series starters, but not only is there going to be a lot of guys coming in off the bench, but there's going to be a lot of movement around. I'm going to start with the cornerback room, where I think it's clear they've got a lot of options. We've seen Gentry, obviously. We've seen Woody Washington. We've seen Dolby. We've seen Kenai Walker. Reggie Powers, and I mentioned him earlier and I mentioned him last night. He's getting a lot of reps, like more than I expected. He's getting a lot of reps, man. And I actually talked with his dad a little bit last night. I think it's possible he could get some looks at Cheetah too. That actually, sorry, instead of starting at corner, let's talk about Cheetah, because that is, I like 20 different guys are getting reps at Cheetah.
Yeah.
Is there anything that's, I was focusing more on the secondary, but I would say where McCullough and Harrington were the primary cheetahs last year with a little bit of Dolby and Peyton Bowen mixed in. To me, it's not just limited to McCullough and Harrington. They're looking at a lot of different guys.
Yeah. Part of me wonders, you know, I kind of think about what Oklahoma has coming up on the schedule. You know, obviously Tennessee is a wide open offense. Ole Miss is a wide open offense. You're going to have a lot of five wide. Who knows what Hugh Freeze is going to be doing at Auburn. You know, you'll play Missouri, the offenses that you're going to be facing next year. I think that there's going to be a lot of instances where you need as many cover guys on the field as you can get. And so, finding somebody that's versatile in that role this year is going to be important. You want it to be Harrington. And I do think Harrington is still, given what he brings experience wise, what he brings athletically, I do think he's your top guy there when he's healthy. And we'll just have to see if he can get there. But yeah, I mean, as you just mentioned, it's been Reggie Powers, it's been Samuel Masigo, it's been Kendall Dolby. There's been so many guys being thrown into that role It's going to be really interesting to see how that ends up playing out. I think the guy that has stood out to me has been Samuel Masigo.
Omasego. He's getting a ton of reps, man.
Yeah, and he looks like he fits right in. And that's somebody I remember watching him in the was it the Under Armour game? Whatever, it was the Under Armour game or the Army All-American game. I don't remember which one he played in, but either way, I just remember watching him fly around and looked among the best guys on the field in that game. And then, you know, as happens with almost all freshmen, especially under Brent Venables, things went a little bit quiet as the season rolled on. You know, there's just so much, especially at that position, there's just so much of a jump from high school to college in what you need to be able to do and diagnose. But coming into his second off season, physically developed, obviously getting more reps now means he knows kind of what's going on. He looked really impressive. He was in the right place. He's got closing speed. He's got physicality when it comes to the point of attack and taking a ball carrier down. I really liked, I mean, really everything I was seeing from him. So that's a guy that could play a big role as a youngster, and I'm excited about it for him, because that's, again, from what I remember him as well, he's a really good kid too. So it's like exciting to see somebody like that getting more of a role, and I think he's got an opportunity to play a lot of snaps.
Yeah, I think I'm going to write something hopefully over the weekend of just kind of consolidating like the names that have really stood out to me. And I think Omasego is going to be one of those guys, a 5 or 6 guys. And it's not just because he's looked good. He looks a lot more comfortable than he did last year, but he's just, they clearly are intrigued by what he can bring. And there were even reps yesterday where he was getting cheetah reps next to Kendall Dolby. Then all of a sudden the next rep it's Omasego at inside linebacker. Like they flip. And then the next rep, it's Omasego at linebacker, and it's Peyton Bowen at cheetah. And like, I think they're really valuing that versatility. So yeah, I'm going to keep the next open practice, I'm going to really keep my eye on Samuel Omasego, because he's out there a lot. Yes. And I also wanted to throw out Lewis Carter as another guy that has really, again, I think he's a guy that gets lost in the shuffle a little bit at linebacker. Yeah. I think he got some cheetah reps yesterday too. Really like what I've seen from Lewis Carter at linebacker. Outside of Danny Stutzman, they're trying different guys. Obviously Canick and Kip Lewis, Kobe McKenzie will be in the mix. Samuel Masigo will be in the mix. Lewis Carter will be in the mix. But to me, it's almost hard to, it's almost kind of like defensive tech. Like to me, it's like a work in progress, but outside of Stutzman, I think there's a lot of different ways that room can go.
I will say, I think Deson McCullough getting work at will is
interesting.
Is really interesting. Really like that, because, you know, your will linebacker, a lot of times in blitz packages, is going to be somebody that can come off the edge. We saw Canick do it some last year. And I really, really like what this defense could look like if McCullough can fill that role, because at his best, he's unleashed as a pass rusher. And if you have packages with him and our Mason Thomas and PJ Atabarua, and like if you have those guys on the field all at once coming after a quarterback like that, I mean, that's a scary, we are quick to forget what he looked like primarily as a pass rusher at Indiana his freshman year.
He talked last night about like, that's, I think he's wanting to unlock that part of his game a little bit more. Also, he was hurt, like especially towards the end of last year. Apparently he had meniscus surgery in the offseason in one knee, and had a quad issue in the other leg, and both those injuries happened against Oklahoma State.
Cut block.
Which is just, and so he's not fully he's not fully healthy yet, he said, but he's hoping if he continues to progress by the end of the spring, he'll be fully healthy. But I will say, I hadn't really thought about McCullough at that Will linebacker spot. I'll just be honest. I was mostly thinking about him at Cheetah, but after watching yesterday, mm-hmm. how many reps he was getting next to Stutzman, now I'm starting to think, is it possible he's the starter at Will linebacker? I don't think that's out of the question.
No, not at all.
I will say, and then as far as the safety room, not a whole lot has jumped out to me yet, just because, for one, Billy Bowman isn't really practicing. He's not doing much on-field stuff. I think they're just being really cautious with him, but he's very involved coaching and leading that secondary group. Peyton Bowen's getting a lot of snaps there. They are working Woody Washington and some different guys there, but I think it's largely going to be Billy Bowman and one of those spots. But I will highlight Robert Spears Jennings,
yep,
who is another guy that I think gets a little bit lost in the shuffle. He played a little bit last year, not a ton. He's obviously a guy that's dealt with some injuries too, but I like what I've seen from Robert Spears Jennings, man. And he was even talking yesterday about kind of being the old guy in the room now.
Yes,
that kind of happened all of a sudden. I think this could be a breakout year. I think 2024 could be a breakout year for Robert Spears Jennings. And I think part of the versatility and moving different guys around actually could end up benefiting him, because I think there's going to be times where they've got Peyton Bowen, Billy Bowman, and Robert Spears Jennings all on the field at the same time. I don't think it's always going to have to be an either or. I think all three of those guys could be on the field.
Yeah. And he is a guy that I think he can fill that role of like that physical SEC safety. Like, don't want that guy being the one coming down to make a tackle with his hair on fire. Like, would not want to be the running back in that situation. He brings wood whenever he brings it. And him kind of growing into that leadership role under Billy Bowman. I guess Billy Bowman's dad to pretty much everybody in that room.
Yeah.
But he's grown into a leadership role there, and he's going to play a big role. And yeah, like you said, Peyton Bowen and how they fit some of those other pieces. I mean, this secondary right now, especially with the young guys that are starting to make some plays at corner, it's deep. It's as deep as it's been in a long, long time. And I'm excited to really see who ends up establishing themselves as those starters outside of on the outside.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian, I think we're going to take a short break. And I think when we come back, we should really finish up talking about some defensive guys and then really dive into the offense. I mean, again, we're still just scratching the surface of the 4 hours of open practice that we observed. We really wanted to put kind of an all-encompassing, broad look at all these position groups. And we still haven't even got to the offense yet. So I think let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll dive into more notes and really focus on the offense. We are back from a very long break. Just an incredibly long break. Fortnights. Days.
My hair's growing. Like,
not really, but we are back from a break. And Brian, before we transition to talking about football, the fun part of the game, I'm just kidding. Defense is fun too. But before we talk about football, we need to talk about the cornerbacks and some final touches on the defense as a whole. And I'll say about that cornerback room that it's just from my observation, because I really focused in on it on Wednesday. Wasn't sure your thoughts, but I'll say that, again, kind of consistent with the theme that there's a lot of movement, and guys playing different spots. I mean, Woody Washington is straight up playing everywhere. Yeah. And I asked him yesterday, talking to him after practice, I asked him if that was something from the coaches, like, did the coaches come to him or did he go to the coaches? And he went to the coaches and asked if he could try out some different spots. So I thought that was interesting. And I don't know how much that's going to stick. If you had to ask me right now, 6 months before the season starts, where I think Woody's primarily going to be playing, it's corner, probably in his traditional role. But I don't know that for sure. And I will say him trying out different spots makes it more interesting for everybody else. Kendall Dolby looks really good to me. man. He looked, and obviously he kind of turned it on towards the end of last year. But Kendall Dolby looks good to me. I think his versatility has really showed out. And Des Malone, who I think has experienced playing a lot of different defensive back, it looks like they're trying him out at some corner and some one-on-one man coverage stuff. And he looks really, really good to me. He was one of the guys, probably like the top five or six guys that really stood out to me on Monday. You noted that during the middle of practice, he came off the field, had his helmet off, looked like he might have been evaluated for a concussion.
Yep,
maybe.
He was doing the visual evaluations. Yep.
And you noted that, and that was a good catch. But I obviously wouldn't think it's super serious. But just as a note. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you got the young guys too, Josiah Wagner and Makari Vickers, not to mention the freshmen that we haven't talked about. But anything surprised you? Anything stood out to you about that cornerback room?
I'd like to second what you said about Des Malone. He's looked really good in the moments that we've seen him out there. And I mentioned this to Brandon on Monday, and it continued with Wednesday's session. Kenai Walker looks really good. Looks like he's developed further. I guess that's a trend, though. He tends to look really good in spring. And he did some good things in the last couple of games of the year. I do want to give him credit. I think the thing that probably sticks out for most people, and it does for me as well, is just how poorly he played against Kansas. Like, I think that's the game that everybody goes back to. But he did play better as the season rolled on, and he's looked really good. But yeah, that group of, you know, if you want to call them sophomores, I guess, redshirt freshmen, however you want to handle that, those second year guys, Jacoby Johnson, Josiah Wagner, Makari Vickers. Yeah, I think those guys are going to play a big role. And you add in the fact that Gentry Williams isn't able to go right now full speed. He's not doing everything with the team. There's just a really deep, young group of talented guys out there on the edge. And all of those guys, all of them can go. They're all extremely quick. They're all great athletes in space. And that in and of itself has really elevated the floor for this defensive back room as a whole. And I think if you can have some of those athletes out there on the edge that really take things to the next level, and you have experience like you do moving closer to the ball, it's a really dangerous combination.
I'm really glad you mentioned Jacoby Johnson. I should have mentioned him earlier. He has really stood out to me.
Jaden Hardy too. Both of those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Jaden Hardy. I'm also going to, so I actually got asked about this on the radio earlier this week. I'm glad you mentioned Jaden Hardy. He does look good. Jaden Rowe is a guy that has not been mentioned a ton. Obviously he only played one game last year and then he got hurt. Actually had somebody ask me, it was a text on KREF. Is he anywhere near the mix? Because he's been a little bit of a disappointment. He's been on the field a little bit. I saw him primarily more in that 7-on-7 where Venables was playing scout team. That's really when I noticed Jaden Rowe the most.
Mm-hmm.
He's really tall.
I was about to say he stands out. He stands out amongst the group. I mean, he's a physical specimen, but that's unfortunately one of those careers right now. The definition of his career has just been he's had the injury bug. He just hasn't been able to stay healthy long enough to develop. So if that changes, look, if that changes, the athlete that he is, absolutely, he'll work his way into the depth chart at some point. But he's got to stay healthy, and that just hasn't happened yet.
No, and he's probably not going to be a guy that's talked about a ton through the rest of spring. I mean, for one, I think they're probably not pushing him full right. go. I mean, hell, he's had a ton of injuries. Mm-hmm. But these next few weeks are critical for him because it's going to be so easy to get buried in that depth chart, particularly at cornerback. But I wanted to say, I'm really glad you mentioned Jacoby Johnson because I'm high on a lot of those second-year guys, but actually after watching a couple practices – I'm probably higher on Jacoby Johnson, maybe out of that group of returning second year guys. I'm maybe the highest on him, and he's really impressed me. And I will, the other thing I'll mention is that Des Malone, he had a couple of battles against Jaden Gibson, especially on Monday. Mm. I think Jaden Gibson won one of them, and Des Malone got him on the other. And it was really impressive for one, because it was just them competing. It was just being super competitive. And you love to see that. But two, I thought it was noteworthy because Des Malone's given up like 6 inches on Jaden Gibson height-wise. And Des Malone's right there, man. Yeah. And I did think that compared to the other cornerbacks, and this isn't shade at the other cornerbacks at all, but that was one of the few moments the last couple of years that I'm like, dang, Des Malone is going right at that guy. Right at him. And I do think OU, that cornerback room could use a little bit of that, I think. Sure.
Yeah, like that dog mentality that you hear. Like it's a culture thing. It's where like you see it in some players where they come in. Like I think Deion Burks is another guy that shares that feel where he's out to prove on every play that he is that guy. And like I love that a couple of the newcomers have that kind of attitude, and it does, it elevates the rest of the field, because you all, like if you're in a competitive environment like Oklahoma football, you know, one of the premier institutions as far as football goes in the country, you're in a competitive environment, you have to be competitive to get there. And so for those guys to come in from other places and really elevate the competitive feel of 7-on-7 and things of that nature, it's great. I mean, it's really, really good stuff.
Let's talk about the offensive side of the ball, and we might as well start with where the biggest questions lie, and that is the running back room. I'm kidding. It is the offensive line. Brian, you're the offensive line guy. You really focused in on them Monday and Wednesday, especially yesterday. Before I ask you your overarching thoughts, I will say that there is no bigger mixing and matching going on right now to me than the offensive line.
100%.
And I'm actually a little bit more optimistic about the offensive line than I was before open practices, but I recognize there's still a ton of questions. We also haven't, I don't feel like we've seen a ton, but I think Fibechi Nwewu has stood out. I think Jacob Sexton has stood out. Probably Fibechi at the top of that list. I tweeted a video just a little bit ago of Jacob Sexton and Ethan Downs going at it, and I really thought Jacob Sexton handled his own really well in that one-on-one drill early in practice yesterday. But they've kind of been stowing him away in that corner, in that back corner where we can't really go during individual drills. And I think that's purposeful.
Oh, 100% it is. You know, that's probably per request of Coach Beedenbo, if I was to guess. But yeah, you mentioned the rep. I was actually going to bring that up about Jacob Sexton, the rep that one-on-one versus Ethan Downs. You actually, if you listened in, you could hear Coach Venables talking to Coach Beedenbo whenever he asked for that rep, and he said, "Your best tackle, Coach. I want your best tackle."
I missed that completely.
And it was Jacob Sexton that went out there. So I like that. I thought that was good. Really glad that.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's huge.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool that that's where you know, that's where he's at now on this depth chart. Like, you know, he's the only returning guy, sure, but like with the other incoming guys, with Spencer Brown coming from the Big Ten, with Michael Tarquin having more experience, it was still Jacob Sexton that tried out there. So good stuff on that. Lots of notes, lots of little things here, a lot of mental notes too, just trying to keep up with everything. So Parker actually corrected me on, and it makes me want to laugh every time I say his name properly now, especially if you're a SpongeBob fan, because it is Fibechi Wee Woo. is how you actually pronounce his name.
I'm not laughing at his name. I'm like this, but when you said
yes, that's what it. Oh, wee woo. Yeah. Anyways, Bebechi Wee Woo is he's stepping out. He's really stuck out. We asked Grayson Holton yesterday about Bebechi, and well, actually, it was really who stands out, and somebody had mentioned his name, and Grayson said, "You said it. Like he's a dog." He's different. Like he is. It's been rumored that he is the strongest player on the team. I would say that is absolutely the case based on what I have seen in some one-on-ones. I will say one of the one-on-one drills that I was lucky enough to watch was between he and Dejon Terry. And Dejon Terry just went straight up bull rush in the one-on-one, trying to get to the quarterback. And three strides is all it took for Wee Woo to catch him and stop him in his tracks and stand him straight up. And so his bend, his strike, he is exactly what you want in a guard for Bill Beedenbo's offense. It really makes me wish that you would have had the tandem of he and Caden Green, like just thinking about how good, I mean, that may be the best guard duo OU's had in a long, long time. But either way, really like what I've seen out of him. Heath Ozaida has actually been the guard opposite of him starting with the ones. We've actually, as I mentioned to you yesterday at practice, we actually got a look at who was running with the ones on along the offensive line. And, you know, of course, with everything that happened with Troy Everett, this is kind of up in the air now. I'm sure you mentioned it last night on the live, but we saw him go down in practice. He ended up leaving practice pretty hobbled. Didn't look good on his right leg. Had some trouble putting weight on it, but was able to walk out, had a ice pack on that left knee or on that right knee. So, you know, we'll just have to see. I know I had a couple of people bring this up, and it is worth saying. It is a positive note that he was walking, but you can walk on ligament damage, especially still wearing a brace. So until we hear further on that, you don't really know what the damage is. But the way that he was kind of writhing in pain whenever he went down, I was afraid that this was like a freak injury, like, you know, maybe never play again. But that's why it was positive that he came back and was able to walk off the field at the end of practice. So that's good. But your left tackle, Jacob Sexton, but it is worth noting that Michael Tarquin has been getting a lot of reps with the ones at left tackle as well. So maybe, you know, in the spirit of March Madness, maybe he's your sixth man. Like maybe that's who you see rotate in a little bit there, which is fine. Like I said, Heath Ozaida has been good. Right tackle has not been Spencer Brown. It hasn't. It's actually been Jake Taylor. Jake Taylor's been the guy taking ones reps with the ones at right tackle. So I think he has taken that step, and there's always been the tools have always been there. It's just been a matter of getting strong. And, you know, Coach Beedenbo is notorious for not really playing young guys unless they've absolutely earned the right. And he's now, you know, stepping into an area where he's a little more experienced than some of the other guys, especially in the system. And he's earned some reps there. So that's good. And then, you know, if Everett is out, your guy's going to be Josh Bates. That's going to be your starting center if he is out. He's gotten plenty of reps. I've watched him a lot with the twos. He's actually done pretty well, held up pretty well in some one-on-one situations. I think we got a look at him the other day with in a one-on-one situation with Dejon Terry, and he held up pretty well there. So like what I've seen from those guys, but it'll be interesting to see what things look like when Garen Hatchett gets involved. You know, I think he's going to absolutely play some sort of role. That's a guy that might be able to play center for you if you have an issue with getting, if you have an issue getting Troy Everett back, but who knows? You know, really overall, as you kind of alluded to earlier, I really came away from the first 4 hours of watching practice and watching those guys. I mean, I spent the vast majority of my time with the offensive and defensive lines. And I really do feel better about the offensive line than I thought I was going to. I planned on my first report being pretty solemn news, but it actually looks like there are some pieces there that are going to be more than enough to be able to run the football. Now, I think part of that is some of the changes that we're going to see in the offensive scheme. I think there's going to be a little more called run than there is RPO, which is great. Allow the guys to get off the ball a little bit more. And I do think that you're going to see some of the strengths of this offense be running the football, because guys like Michael Tarquin, guys like Fabecchi Wiwu, guys like Heath Ozaida, they're at their best when they're moving forward and blocking on the run, moving forward, getting to the next level. And I think that that's going to be big for this offense. So, you know, I would still say, concerns wise, yes, the offensive line is still probably the position group that I would be most concerned about, but my concerns have been alleviated at least a little bit. I'm ready to see what they look like, you know, come the end of April, and they've had some time to work together. But for the time being, I think things are off to a good start.
I don't really have anything to add. That was good. You cooked. About 10 minutes, you just cooked. Let him cook. I love it. Really don't have anything to add. That's about as, I mean, that's a more detailed, thorough breakdown than you're going to find anywhere else. That's great.
What we
that's
do.
Great stuff there. That's what we do. You mentioned running the ball, and I don't know if there's a ton to talk about at running back in the sense of Gavin Sawchuk's the one. Not that that was ever a question, but that has just continued to be the thing. It's Jackson Arnold and Gavin Sawchuk getting paired up together in every single quarterback running back drill. As of now, Javonte Barnes is getting the number two reps with General Booty, who is currently acting as the second string quarterback. Obviously, that can change as some of the younger guys step up and as Casey Thompson gets healthy. I want to talk about Caleb Hicks.
I do.
That's who I want to talk about, because he looks, I keep on saying, guys, he looks good. I want to say something else. He has really stood out to me. Caleb Hicks has, and he stood out to me even more Wednesday than he did on Monday. And part of that is because we got to see more offense versus defense drills on Wednesday than we did on Monday. And Caleb Hicks got a lot of reps against some first string defensive guys. I loved what I saw, man. He looks even more like a power running back than he did last year, while still having just explosiveness. He initiates contact. He goes into guys.
When he gets
to not only the line of scrimmage, but particularly that second level, guys are coming to tackle him. He's coming to hit you.
Right.
And it looks like he's added a ton of muscle. I think it's possible he's the strongest guy in that running back room. I think it's certainly possible. Mm-hmm. And he's getting the third string running back reps right now behind Barnes. And I think that situation is complicated because we were so high on Javonte Barnes a year ago. Everybody was. He looked like he was going to be the number one guy. He had a great year his freshman year in 2022. I think if he's healthy, I mean, I think he still has running back one potential if he's healthy. But Gavin Sawchuk's the one. I think it's a competition for the two. We'll see if Sam Franklin or anybody else gets in the mix. But Brian, I don't know about you, but Caleb Hicks has really stood out to me. And I also like he's getting a lot of reps with Michael Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
And Hawkins is just fast, man. Yeah. And I kind of like that combination together in particular. But I don't know. Yeah. Any thoughts to add on that running back room?
Caleb Hicks is the most physically developed running back in that room, at least from, you know, just from what we have seen, from the time that we've got to spend out there watching. He is the most physically developed. He's the strongest, it looks like. He does run with some real attitude. And I like that because, you know, one of the, you know, supposed knocks on him last year was maybe that he lacked a little bit of that physicality. So I don't know if maybe the flip switched or if that's just really what he's focused on changing the narrative about, but it seemed like every time he was running the football, he wasn't looking to avoid contact. He was looking to do what he could to run somebody over and move forward. So I liked what we saw from him at inside run. We also caught some glimpses when they were doing, you know, it wasn't exactly the Oklahoma drill, but there was like this modified Oklahoma drill that they were doing where you had an offensive and defensive lineman stacked on this yard line. Then there was another one stacked on this yard line with a linebacker on one side and a running back on the other. And we got to see him.
The W drill.
W drill. Yes. Okay. So that's what it's called. And there were a few times where you kind of saw him get some open field and burst. And I mean, like the guy looks dangerous. So really like that. I am really curious to see what this running back room looks like and how it gets flipped on its head a little bit when Taylor Tatum shows up. Now, running back is kind of one of those positions where if you are just that dude, you can come in right away and make a difference. The room it seems pretty strong to me considering kind of where we thought this room would be after losing
Tawi Walker
last year. But you know, I think that Tatum is going to be, it's going to be interesting to see where he falls on the depth chart. But yeah, Caleb Hicks looks big and looks ready to go, and Javonte Barnes, he looks healthier and looks like a closer to the version of the 2022 Javonte Barnes that we saw. So who knows? I think that running back two spot is going to be what to watch for. So we'll just have to see how it goes.
Wide receiver room, and we've talked a lot about it, that Deion Burks has been really impressive. He's looks like he's already established himself as the starting slot guy. When they, especially in the running on air drills or in those 7-on-7 drills, your skill guys are right now Jahlil Farouk, Deion Burks, Jaden Gibson, Bauer Sharp.
Yep.
And now, obviously, the Jaden Gibson thing could be related to Nick Anderson not doing a ton on the field as he's a little bit banged up. Don't think it's super serious. But that wide receiver group, man, I think I had made the comment that I think it's arguably the deepest position group on the team on either side of the ball. Mm-hmm. And seeing Deion Burks, he's just already emerged as the starting slot. He's so fast, dude. He's just so explosive. And then you add, like, he's kind of got that, like, I'm going to go hit you kind of mentality to him. Mm-hmm. He runs hard.
Yeah.
And I mean, he just does. And I think my only question with that wide receiver room is there going to be enough reps for everybody? Because Angelo Anthony is out there, but he's not practicing, obviously. Nick Anderson's not on the field, or he's not doing drills. And we haven't even talked about Jaquez Petaway, who I thought it was notable, led the Sooner jumping jacks towards the end of warmups. Thought that was notable. But we haven't even talked about Jaquez Petaway. I think Brennan Thompson, I will say, this isn't an indictment on him. I didn't think he practiced particularly well yesterday.
Yeah, he had a few drops.
He did, and Emmett Jones got on him a couple times. Again, that's not an indictment on him. Everybody has bad reps, bad practices. He wasn't a standout yesterday. But and we haven't even talked about the new freshman receivers. I mean, I think Zion Kearney looks really good.
That dude is an alien. I mean, he looks the part.
It's like him and Jaden Gibson, and to a lesser extent, Nick Anderson are just like,
yep.
they're just limbs.
Yeah.
They're just so lanky and long. I don't know what new to say about Deion Burks that hasn't already been said, but I think fans can be rest assured that that is their starting slot, and that's a good thing. And that wide receiver group looks good.
So I'm not comparing him one-to-one with this athlete or with this wide receiver, but the way that he carries himself, the way that he runs routes, he's not as fast as this guy, but he does very much, he's reminiscent of Tyreek Hill.
Yeah,
like very reminiscent of Tyreek Hill. They run the routes, his footwork. It looks very similar. I don't think he has world class track athlete speed, but he is extremely fast. So, that's kind of the guy that I see with him. Maybe Jalen Waddle is a good comp. But either way, yeah, I think that guy can absolutely be wide receiver one in this offense. Pretty easily.
It looks like he already has chemistry with Jackson Arnold.
Yes,
too.
Very much so.
Go ahead.
I was just going to add the rotation for this group is going to be, it's going to be so interesting to see how Coach Jones is able to keep that room satisfied, to keep that room together, because he has built a room that by all accounts, it's one of the best. It's probably one of the best wide receiver rooms in the country right now. And it's crazy to say that because it's relatively unproven outside of Nick Anderson. But when you've seen what Jaden Gibson can do, when you've seen what Deion Burks puts on film, when you've seen what Andrew Anthony was able to do before being injured last year, and then just what Zion Kearney and Jaquez Petaway bring to the table. Yeah, there's just so many playmakers there. It's going to be fun.
Nobody is higher on Jaden Gibson than I. I will continue to yell his name from the rooftops, that I think that guy has star potential all over him if he can just get on the field. But that's, like you said, it's going to be easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, as far as the tight end room, I think we've both talked and said a lot about Bauer Sharp at length. He has the best combination of size and speed in that room.
Yeah.
He just does.
Yeah.
I think he just has a noticeable pop and explosiveness that this tight end room just didn't have last year. Mm-hmm. And really behind him, they don't really have it either. And that's not a knock on those guys. It's just I did not expect this. I'll just straight up, I'll be honest. I did not expect him to not only look as good as he has, but to already be taking the tight end one reps. And I know you are on Bauer Sharp Island. I know your flag was staked. I think you can take a bow, because he's convinced me, man.
That guy, you know, there are just some things, regardless of what level of football you're playing, that just stick out. And whenever I started doing some Google searches on this guy and tried to start finding some things that he did at Southeastern Louisiana, I was immediately, like, first clip, I was like, yeah, a guy like that's not supposed to, like, a guy that big is not supposed to move that quick. How in the world did he get overlooked? And then I realized, oh, it's because he was recruited as a quarterback out of high school. He wasn't recruited as a tight end. And yeah, I mean, he's going to be, when Tennessee and Alabama and Penn State were after you in the transfer portal, as soon as you opened up and you're from a small school like that, that should tell you everything you need to know. He's going to be a weapon, and he's going to be somebody that, if you're a fan and you only kind of come around when preview magazines start, coming out and the season starts getting closer, that's going to be a guy that you go, whoa, who the heck is that? He's going to be a really big weapon for OU.
He is. And I completely agree. I'm sold on him. I think he's arguably been the most impressive newcomer. I just think, of transfer guys, freshman guys, I think he's arguably been the most impressive. Also wanted to highlight, I mean, Josh Fanwell continues to get the second team reps. It's good to see Cade McIntyre and Caden Helms on the field. That's really promising, given where their health has been. But I do want to shout out real quick. I want to shout out Devon Mitchell, who is not the most explosive guy. He's not gonna blow you away with blistering speed, but that dude is big. He's got size, and I think there's a role for him. I do. He's taken third string reps already, and I think they want to play more than one tight end. They just do.
Yep.
Last year, and obviously it's a different offensive coordinator, but last year they did not handle that room because they wanted to handle it that way. They did not feel good about anybody behind Stogner. They want to play more guys. I think Mitchell can get on the field.
Agreed.
Straight up.
Yep.
I think he can.
Kind of in the same token with David Stone about still growing into his body, and maybe even more so with Devon Mitchell, because a lot of people forget, I mean, he's supposed to be in his second semester of junior year in high school. He reclassified. This is a guy that's, I mean, he's the youngest guy on the team for sure. And you can tell sometimes that his body, he's still growing into it. He looks a little, he leans a little more than some guys do when they're running. His knee drive isn't as high yet. He's kind of still learning how things work. But as far as like foot placement, as far as cutting routes, as far as catching the football and controlling himself in the air, he's got it. And he's got size. And I think once that development continues, he's going to be a force. That's the kind of guy. The catch that Austin Stogner made to extend overtime, like into third overtime or whatever against Texas, where like you don't know how in the heck he came down with this because his hands were that strong. Like that's the kind of career I foresee Devon Mitchell having for OU. Like he seems like he's going to be a possession style receiver, but somebody that, when he gets an open space, it's going to be tough to bring him down because he's like a locomotive whenever he gets going. So, yeah, really excited about him too.
No, I agree. And I think we might as well, before we get to quarterbacks to kind of wrap things up, I think special teams, there hasn't been really a ton to look at yet. I think it's very, yeah, I think it's noteworthy that Deion Burks is getting reps at both punt returner and kick returner.
Yep.
And Eli Bowen's getting some reps at punt returner. We've given some notes on all that over at OUinsider.com. I think special teams is going to continue to be let's see how things progress. I think let's end on quarterback in spring, reviewing the quarterbacks in the spring is always kind of tough to do because they're not always doing a ton. A lot of times they're just going through individual drills with the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator. I mean, some of them have gotten some reps kind of on air or against defenses where obviously they're not getting tackled or anything. Mm-hmm. Jackson Arnold's the quarterback one. That hasn't changed. There hasn't been anything to there hasn't been any reason for there to be pessimism or anything like that. I don't know. Has anything stood out to you about Jackson?
I think the thing that stood out about him most is when we got to talk to him on Monday.
It was interesting.
Just about how much emphasis he's placed on taking care of the football this offseason. I mean, like you knew that was going to be the case after he had, you know, the turnovers that he did in the Alamo Bowl, but you could just really tell that like that stuck with him, I guess. Like, because again, you go back to, he's been a star athlete in high school for the entirety of his career there. Was big time at Denton Geyer, won Gatorade Player of the Year, all that stuff. And then he comes in and was sitting behind Dylan Gabriel last year, and he talked about, you know, being a teammate, but how much it sucks to be a backup. And like, he's really stepped into this role with both feet of being a leader. And there were times where he was incredibly vocal as a leader during practice, where you could really see him working on receivers or working on other quarterbacks, like taking that leadership role and running with it, which is awesome. I think that's really good for his development. And, you know, I think the big thing for me is he seemed to have a little more confidence in himself. Like there was a, not that he wasn't confident before, but he just seems more sure of who he is, I guess is a better way of putting it. And you can see that translate on the field too. So he's been accurate. He's been poised, but again, nobody's coming after him right now. And we don't get to see those things live whenever 11 on 11 is going on. So we'll see how it goes in the spring game and when things look a little bit different. But for now, yeah, he's looked great. And it was really promising to see Casey Thompson moving around. You know, he's not doing team stuff, but he's running on the side when everything else is going on. He's trying to get that knee going and get back together. So I like that. And then, yeah, the small bits that I've seen from Casey Thompson from Casey Thompson and from Michael Hawkins, I think this quarterback room's in a really good spot from an athletic standpoint. So like what those guys have done, but JFA is definitely the guy for now.
Yeah, Hawkins is getting those third team reps. Zerbrug's getting those fourth team reps. Definitely still a lot of development. I think the speed with Hawkins has really stood out to me, but I think he's still got a lot of growing to do. He's still got a lot of growing to do, and that's okay. Zerbrug can really, really throw the ball. He's got some zip on the ball when he throws it. But again, I think both those guys have a lot of different ways that, or a lot of different things that they can get better at. And that's going to be something to continue watching. Sure. Ryan, we just went through every single position group. And I feel like there's still so much we could talk about. We could do another hour and a half.
I honestly, I really could. I had to tell myself to shut up at some point. So.
Well, if you didn't, I was going to.
Yeah. So. Well, right. Yeah. I was trying to stay on your good side.
While we've just covered a lot of ground, there's so much more ground that's going to be covered over the next few weeks. We've still got weeks of spring practice before the spring game even gets here. I think we'll have more open practices that we can observe. There's going to be plenty to break down, so much stuff here on the OU Insider YouTube channel, and both some stuff that we're not talking about here that we're talking over at the OU Insider VIP board, along with some notes from Parker and Brandon. Look, basketball portal talk is really, really ramping up. Otega Owe's already entered the portal. Our guy Brody Lusk has already given some notes on what OU's priorities are, who they're looking at. You're not going to want to miss that. Look, softball plays tonight. OU softball is at Kansas, and what should be an interesting matchup. We'll talk a little bit more about softball next week, I think. We'll have a lot to talk about next week for softball. So much stuff going on. You guys are not going to want to miss it. Make sure you like and subscribe here at this OU Insider YouTube channel. If you're not a VIP member over at OUinsider.com, make sure you do that as well. Why wouldn't you do it? It's weird if you don't. Make sure you do that. But until then, we will be back next week for another episode of the Oklahoma Drill.